You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Praise the Lord. Greet you in the name of the Lord. And we are continuing the thought of it's time for a new thing. Our primary passage, Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18. The occasion of the text, since the prophecy of Isaiah is messianic, that means it's a hopeful prophecy. The purpose of this writing to the children of Judah is to give them a sense that God has a good plan for their lives. The contrast from Jeremiah is that while there is a specific directive about a plan, it is connected to 70 years of bondage. It's hard to see the plan of God when you're going through a negative experience. Isaiah's prophecy gives the people a hope because the Savior is coming to deliver them. And in the course of this prophecy, by the time we reach the 43rd chapter, it is an interesting communication from God that tells the people, I'm going to do something new for you. Now, this comes on the heels of chapter 29, where he tells the people, you are serving me with your lips and not from your heart. Now, in Pentecost, we take that passage and we make it very condemning. You're serving God with your lips and you're serving God with physical. You're putting restrictions on your life that were not supposed to be there. And we try to beat people down by telling them your heart is not close to God. But a careful examination of the text tells us that what God is saying is that the patterns of behavior that we are demonstrating are coming from the things that people have taught us. God isn't putting the person down for the non-heart worship. What he's saying is, you're simply doing what you've been taught, and it's wrong. Now, this is not to say that everything we've learned has been wrong, but what it does tell us is that we need to go back and understand if what we are doing now is in season. Some of the things we learned in our walk with God, certain types of demonstrations of holiness, the season for those things is over. There was a season when the church was told that certain behaviors would send you to hell. And then as we read through the Bible, we find those things are not true. Nothing you do will send you to hell. We were born going to hell. Once we become Christians, it's no longer an issue of hell. It is an issue of progressive sanctification. It is not how much can God punish me for? It's how close can I get to God? There are things that prevent us from getting very close to God that may not normally be sin. There are people in your lives whose behavior, conversation, and attitude can prevent you from seeing what God wants to do in your life. There are people whose life experience makes them very suspicious or cynical or lacking vision for the move of God. And if God is telling you to do something specific to bring him glory, and you have these people in your life, you will never reach the position that God has for you. And it's not because of the devil. It's because of our inability to understand seasonal relationships. I would hazard a guess that over 90% of us in here today have someone in our life whose season has expired. But we lack the ability to put them out because we don't want to hurt people. It's okay if they hurt us, but we don't want to hurt them. And so when we get to chapter 43, so much has happened to the people of Judah that God has, and I know that this is not factual, what I'm about to say, but it's the best my mind can come up with, that God has become exasperated with the people. He had grown weary with worship that comes from the teaching of people. In other words, God had gotten to the point where he didn't want his people to serve him based on what somebody else told them. He wanted us to have this internal ability to give him praise based on our relationship. Nobody in any church should appreciate my ministry and anointing more than Bethel. Listen to what I'm saying. Because of our time together, because of our relational connection, wherever I go, if someone says to Bethel, boy, you guys are blessed having that ministry there, your response should be, we know. You should not say, boy, I'm blessed to have this level of anointing when you see it at another church. You ought to be so accustomed to it that wherever you go, wherever I am and you're there, you just expect it to be the same. All right. That's how it is with God. Nobody should be able to tell God's children that he's good and you be surprised. Every one of us that are born again ought to know that he's good because he's been good to us. So we live with God based on who he is to us, not what somebody else has. Nobody. I understand the flow of worship, but I think it's gotten out of control. I understand the need for someone to bring us together, but no one should have to force you to praise God if you know him. The only people who come in here and need to be told to praise him are those who don't know him. But those of us who know him, we should be told to shut up. They should be telling us, all right, we want to get started. Listen. Nobody should be down here saying, all right, we're getting ready to start the service. Everybody stop talking. We should be telling that person to shut up because I'm getting my praise on. I'm getting my word. From the time I walk into this sanctuary, it just starts pouring out because I waited all week to get here. All right. Y'all missing this. So God says, I'm about to do something new. Now watch how he underscores this in verse 18. He says, remember ye not the former things. Hear me. Stop talking about God killing people. Stop talking about God's judgment all the time. Stop talking about all the things that God did. Remember ye not the former things. I don't want to hear a thing about the devil, what he did yesterday. I want to hear what God is doing today. I don't want to hear about how the devil chased you 15 years ago. I want to hear what God is doing today. You can never receive a new thing if your mind is in the past. So somebody hurt you 10 years ago. All right, learn from it, get stronger, and use it to glorify God. Don't hold a grudge, let it go, and let God bless you with his anointing. Tell somebody, I want a new thing. Hallelujah. I'm going to use this analogy again. I used it last week. How many of you can remember your first real Louis Vuitton bag? The one with the little key on it. I mean, your first real one. I ain't talking about the one you got from Columbia Avenue. Your first real one. All right. Do you remember when you had your first real one that was so new to you? And what made it so new was they had it in a separate bag. It was in a your bag was in a separate bag. And when you had that thing, when you brought it to church, you didn't even sit it on the floor. Your bag had a seat. From the distance, somebody thought that seat was empty, but your bag was in that seat. Why was your bag in that seat? Because that was your first new real bag. Are you hearing me? And so you protected it. You treated it differently. And you even had a little bit of, you know, stank in your walk. You know, you walked differently. You wanted everybody to know it was a real bag. And you know that there are knockoffs. But you did little things to show that they're real. You let them see the key. You know, you would do little things to know so people can know what's real. This is what God is talking about. If you forget all the religious cliches and forget all the religious observances and just connect in that relationship, you want the people in the world to know that you know the real God. You know the true and living God. You know the God that created the heavens and the earth. You know the God that defeated the devil. You know the God that raised the dead, that healed the sick, that provided for his children, and you have a little bit of swagger in your walk because you know that, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he is with me, his rod and his staff comforts me. God is setting us up for something new, but I want you to get ready. You have to prepare for new stuff. New stuff just doesn't happen. You got to prepare for it. You tell God, God, I want you to do something new, so get rid of that old mess. I don't even want to complain anymore. I don't even care who's sitting next to me. You remember the day you would sit next to somebody and say, I just feel bound because this person's sitting next to me. Shoo. You better go back to your club days. You didn't care who was sitting next to you. You still got high. And you would say, I ain't going to let you mess up my high. You snort your coke and pull on your crack and smoke your joint. It didn't matter who was in there. You came to get high. Didn't matter who was around. Well, you came in here to touch God and to have God touch you. It doesn't matter if a witch is sitting next to you. They going to have to get saved because God is doing a new thing. The danger, he said, don't remember the former things. Tell your neighbor, forget the past. Answer him. Tell him, I will. Just holding on to the past. You can't do anything about the past. Yes, I am not saying that we totally eliminate it, because if we don't remember certain aspects of it, we're doomed to repeat the mistakes of it. But take it as a lesson, not as bondage. You look at people and you allow people to keep you in bondage because of what they did. Listen, God has brought you a long way. Rejoice that that person doesn't have power over you. Don't give them power over you. Even the devil showed his weakness. He could not keep you in his kingdom. And he tried. But what he did not know was that you did not come to Jesus. Jesus came to you. If God waited for us to come to him, none of us would be saved. Because the prophet said, none seeks after God. But I'm so glad God hunted me down. And some of you, God had to come and get you out of the worst places in society. But he did not give up. He came after you. And Paul says it theologically, we were elected. Hallelujah. How many of you were elected? Now watch this. If you were elected by God, the Russians couldn't mess with the election. Nobody could keep you away. You were elected by God. And then he goes as far to say, as you were predestined. Do you understand predestined? It means it was your destiny to come in.
You talk about fulfilling your destiny. The moment you said, yes, Lord, you fulfilled your destiny. Ministry is not your destiny. Preaching is not your destiny. Prophesying is not your destiny. Your destiny was being adopted. You're no longer in foster care. You're in the family now. You got his name. You're his child.
Say, how do I know? How do I know God's going to do a new thing? Because I'm a new person. Tell somebody, I'm a new person. 2 Corinthians 5 said, I'm a new creature. Do you understand the concept? When God saved you, he made you new. You're not flipped. You're not, he didn't make you over. He made you new. Hallelujah. And he wasn't doing it like the property brothers either. They talk you into buying a house and then come back and tell you everything that's wrong. Because they know that if you knew before you bought the house what was wrong, you wouldn't have bought the house. God's not like the property brothers. He bought us just like we are. He bought us with bad plumbing, bad electrical. He bought us with broken windows. He bought us with destroyed septic systems and said, I'm not going to make them over. I'm going to make them new. I'm going to tear down everything, give them a new heart, give them a new mind, because I need them to see. Watch, if you are not new, you can't see the new coming. You have no point of reference. But if you are new, he said, here, I'm going to make ways in the wilderness. That's why new people of God don't get upset when they're having a wilderness moment, because they know God is about to make a way. And we know from experience, the darker the wilderness, the brighter the experience is going to be. Somebody ought to praise him. Here's what I like. He said, all right, the only way you're going to see the new is if you stop considering the old. Tell somebody, stop considering the old. All we do is talk about the old. That's all we do. Talk about, we go back into history, talk about the old. If you keep staying in the old, you won't see the new. That's why he says, I'm going to do something new, and you won't even know it. The King James says, shall ye not know? In other words, you won't even recognize me doing it. I'm going to do something as substantial as make a way in the wilderness, and you won't even see it. You come to me and you say, God, here's what you say. You say, God, I need you to give me a new job. And he says, oh, really? He said, I'm going to do it new. I'm going to get you fired from that one. I'm going to make them close the hospital. And you're like, God, why? He said, because you asked me for something new, and you can't see the new till you get rid of the old. That's why for children of God, when negative hits us, positive is just around the corner. Hallelujah. And if you don't want to wait for the bus, then walk around there and meet it. But don't sit around crying and lamenting. God will show you how great he is in the negative. I got to tell you this because, see, we miss this because of our archaic ways of looking at God. God is God. That's hard for us. You've heard it before, but it's hard for us to understand because Westerners have no concept of God. For us, God is the person that we control by prayer and other religious activities. But God is God. From an Eastern perspective, that means he's large and in charge. That means he's, one thing the Holy Spirit shared with me, he said, people say God is good, but they use that term good based on their understanding. And that's correct. When you say God is good, you're defining him by human good. But God is so good that even when bad happens, it's good for me. It might not be good to me, but it's good for me. See, that's what David was talking about when he said, it was good for me to have been afflicted. For through the affliction, I learned your precepts. I learned how good you are. I
would never have known that God's power was able to keep me until I found myself in a negative situation. Are you hearing me? So when God sees that you're not glorifying him up to your full potential, he sends a trial. Because God is on a praise hunt. He goes around looking for people to praise him. He's looking for, why do you think praise is so important in the Bible? Why do you think God gave David five nouns to identify praise? There ain't five nouns to identify worship. There's five for praise. Why? God says there's a praise for every situation you go through. And five is the number of grace, which means because of grace, I give him praise. And wherever there is the abundance of satanic power, there will be the superabundance of the Lord's grace. He will bring you out of whatever you're in if you expect it. I expect to come out. I expect to be victorious. I expect to be on top. I expect to be healed. I expect to beat the devil. I expect to get praise. I expect it. I expect it. I expect it. I expect it. I'm new. I'm new.
He said, listen. I'm going to do a new thing. Say new thing. He said, it's going to spring forth, the King James says. That means it's just going, it's going to come and you ain't even going to know it. In Italy, particularly in the South, but more so in Sicily, they have something, I'll just give you the English for it. They have something called the thunderbolt. And a thunderbolt is when a man sees a woman and all that she is so mesmerizing that he just falls for her. And so the slang will be, you got hit by the thunderbolt. It surprised you. You weren't expecting it. She just came and your heart just went. Your heart was going, boom, 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 boom. But when you saw that person, it went, boom, 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 boom. It skips a beat. And we'll use that term. You know, when I saw so-and-so, my heart skipped a beat. It literally means that the presence of that person hits you in a position where it puts you in this position where nothing but goodness comes off of you. That's how it was supposed to be when you met Jesus.
We pray that you are blessed and encouraged by the message you heard today. To order today's message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. When ordering, refer to the program title, A New Time is Coming, or the program number 07219P. If you'd like to download today's message or any other recent sermons from Bishop Lambert, visit ericlambertministries.com for the complete digital download. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can now be viewed nationally on the Impact Network on Sunday mornings at 7:30 a.m., Comcast Channel 294. Be sure to visit BethelDeliverance.org to find out when to catch the Climbing Higher TV and radio broadcast in your area. For service times, location, and more information about Bishop Lambert and Bethel Deliverance International Church, go to our website at BethelDeliverance.org. Follow us on social media through Facebook and Instagram, or contact us at 215-885-2585. Thank you for tuning in today. Keep climbing higher in the Word of God.
The Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. is part of the media outreach ministry of Bethel Deliverance International Church. Our goal is to reach the world with powerful messages of faith, truth, and victory taught from the Word of God. You can take part in this significant mission by becoming a media partner. Your weekly, monthly, or one-time gift goes directly towards reaching the masses with life-changing messages of hope from God's Word. We invite you to visit the BethelDeliverance.org media link for more information about the media partnership. You may also contact the media outreach representative at 215-885-2585 to make a donation. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church. We appreciate your support.